Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. We will be frequently posting sermons from our Sunday services to offer insights and interpretations of Scripture and to help you connect biblical teachings to your daily life and circumstances. You may also watch our entire worship service online on Facebook or YouTube. This podcast was recorded on Sunday, July 13, 2025. Our guest preacher is Pastor Larry Donner.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. And an introduction. Jesus is challenged to explain what is involved in obeying the greatest commandment. He tells a parable rich in surprises. Those expected to show pity display hard hearts, while the lowly give and receive unexpected and lavish mercy. Here's the reading. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three, do you think, was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Chicago, Philadelphia, McAllen, Texas, Florida State University. These are locations of 4 of the most recent of the 205 mass shootings that have taken place in our country already this year. Immigration has been stirring passions over the tension between protecting us from terrorists and protecting the American dream of give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. And people all across the political spectrum are offering their solutions. Open borders, build walls. More guns, fewer guns. A gun control does present a bit of a paradox because banning guns can be unconstitutional, and yet more guns has not been a solution. And while walls may fulfill the purpose of keeping people out or in, my relatives who lived in the former East Germany will tell you that walls do not produce a lasting peace, but do produce more fear and hate. So where do we Christians turn for answers? To politics? I'm not here to preach politics. I'm here to talk about what Jesus has to say, which may well inform our and shape our politics, which I would contend is better than letting our politics shape our faith. Would you agree? And it just so happens that today Jesus speaks to such issues as these in his own typical way. He tells a story about who is our neighbor. And one way to better understand a Bible story, especially a very familiar one, is to picture yourself as one or more characters in the story. And so today, I'm wondering with which character in today's story of the Good Samaritan you would most identify. Might it be the lawyer? You know, the lawyer asks what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. And surely we're all interested in eternal life. It's why we're here. The lawyer even knows the right answer to his own question. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Well, good answer, Jesus says. Do this and you will live. In other words, why are you asking me? You already know what the answer is. Now do it. And it sets the lawyer on his heels. You know, the dear lawyer, you see, I think is interested more in looking good than doing good. And he'd like to justify not having to do the work of loving some people. And so he asks, who is my neighbor? I think that question characterizes each of us. For do we not often stereotype and isolate people who are not like us, looking for excuses to not have to love some people? Love is costly, after all. It costs our time, our money, our effort, some little or large chunk of our lives. And it would be so nice if we could just justify not having to spend it, which is what the lawyer tried to do. So can you identify with the lawyer? I can. Or might it be the priest? You know, Jesus says the priest is heading down the road to Jericho by chance. He wasn't there as an act of God. It was just by chance, randomly walking down the road. The man lying in the ditch is helpless, half dead, out of options. So the priest, therefore, bears all the responsibility for whether or not this man lives or dies. And when he saw him, yeah, he saw him. There's that split second, perhaps, when he secretly wishes he had not seen the bloody sight in the ditch. But no, he saw. And all possibilities end as he not only passes by the pitiful sight in the ditch, but he passes by on the other side. Now, perhaps he feared defilement. After all, Jewish purity law stated that anyone touching a corpse would be considered unclean for 7 days and then have to go through an arduous purification process to be considered pure again. And one had to be pure in order to participate in worship. And because priests had to be available for worship, Ezekiel 44 verse 25 says that they were not allowed to touch the dead body, except any dead body except that of a family member. And so maybe, thinking that this man was dead, the priest feared defilement, and we ought to just cut him a break. Or perhaps he was just running late for a meeting of the Jericho Lions Club. I don't know. But Jesus is silent on any possible reason. And we listeners don't have to be too creative to come up with the reasons that we've used on similar occasions. I mean, are there any here who have not averted their eyes from the beggar standing at the stoplight as we approach? And do so for a host of perfectly understandable good reasons. The priest's reasons mean that evil persists in having the last word in that beaten man's life. For the last real initiative in the story was that of the robbers who beat stripped, and left the man half dead. Thus, violence rules as the priest passes by on the other side, having distanced himself from the wounded victim. And now the man in the ditch is a little bit more than half dead. Can you identify with the priest like I do? So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. As a member of the priestly tribe of Levi, he has the same purity concerns as the priest might have had. But he also has the potential to make a difference in the way the story will end. Nevertheless, when he sees the wounded man, he too passes by on the other side. And wouldn't we? I mean, we do have to live, don't we? The evil forces that nearly snuffed out the life of this fellow traveler down the road to Jericho might snuff out our lives as well. And we must survive. Isn't that the whole point of our story? Survival? Isn't that why we walk out of the Target store with all of those things to feather our nest and then look away from the beggar at the stoplight? And so maybe you recognize yourself in the Levite, like I do. But a third man, a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. We have heard this story two times before. I mean, what's the point of repeating it? Let the story end. Just let it end, that age-old story of the triumph of evil. But surprise! When he saw him, he was moved with pity. Jesus did not speculate about the motives of the two people who passed by on the other side, but this third traveler who saw the beaten man and moved with pity went to him. Yeah, moved with pity. And he touches the victim, cleans and binds his wounds, sets him on his own beast, and takes care of him. He becomes the neighbor. You know, Good Samaritan is such a common term in our culture that most people today don't realize that Good Samaritan would have been an oxymoron in the first century to a first century Jew. A Samaritan, of course, is someone from Samaria. Most Jews who had lived up north in Samaria were killed or taken into exile during an ancient war. A few, however, remained in the area, and they intermarried with other races, which is why the Jews still living down south in Israel thereafter considered themselves to be pure and the true Jews, whereas the Samaritans to be half-breeds. They believed that the Samaritans had perverted the race, you see, and even more so, had perverted the religion by worshiping on Mount Gerizim instead of in Jerusalem. The animosity was so great that some Jews would go miles out of their way in order to avoid Samaritan territory. Good Samaritan? Very likely in the minds of many Jews, the only good Samaritan was a dead Samaritan. And yet this Samaritan does what no one else does. He becomes the unexpected agent of grace. By his act, the man once stripped of his dignity and his possessions and his future is able to live. The Samaritan, this scum, stops his own journey when he sees the wounds. He risks, detours, extravagantly responds to the needs of the man bleeding in the ditch. The Samaritan, yeah. Although we may readily admit that we all too often act like the priest or the Levite, the Samaritan is the one to whom we feel we should relate, right? And that's why we have hospitals and care centers named after him. It's why our government established Good Samaritan laws to protect us from liability suits should we dare help someone else. And we like to think of ourselves as Good Samaritans, offering aid and comfort to those in need, and I know you do it with some regularity around here. So surely, the Good Samaritan is the one in the story with whom we really should identify, right? Well, what I propose to you today is that our identification with the Samaritan is not only wishfully optimistic, but theologically backward. In the Good Samaritan story, we are not the Samaritan, nor the priest, nor the Levite. Rather, we are the beaten, bloodied nobody lying helpless in the ditch. We are the needy, not the helper. Do you remember at the conclusion of the story, Jesus asked the lawyer, which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? And the lawyer gives the right answer. The neighbor in the story is the Samaritan, the one who showed mercy. But remember also that the lawyer, the one seeking the way to eternal life, wanted to know who his neighbor was. Who is my neighbor? He asked Jesus. In other words, who will be neighbor to me? And Jesus answers with the parable of the Good Samaritan, thereby teaching the lawyer and teaching us that our neighbor is the one who shows us mercy. For we are the wounded ones in need of receiving mercy before we can ever hope to give it. We need a real neighbor in order to be a real neighbor. And this is why the Samaritan's mercy is so shocking and so Christ-like. Jesus, like the Samaritan, comes from the margins, shows mercy to the unworthy, binds our wounds, and pays the cost. He's the ultimate neighbor, dying for us, not when we were strong, but when we were helpless. And this is why, of all the characters in the story, we must begin by identifying with the wounded man. We may not appear to be wounded as we hide behind our illusion of control and attempt to use our possessions to safeguard our lives. But here's the truth. Some of the richest among us may be the neediest of all. And all of us are beaten and bloodied in this life, mortally wounded by sin. We really need a neighbor to show us mercy. You know, all who are truly victims, truly disinherited, have no choice but to give themselves up to mercy. Thus, when the despised, half-breed Samaritan becomes the instrument of grace, the Jews who were hearing the parable that day must have choked on the irony. To the thieves, the wounded man was someone to use and exploit. To the lawyer, the wounded man was a subject to discuss. To the religious men, the wounded man was a problem to be avoided. To the Samaritan, the wounded man was a human being, worthy of being cared for and loved. But to Jesus, all of them and all of us are the wounded man in need of mercy, worth dying for. The real Good Samaritan is none other than Jesus, who meets us in our brokenness, saves us not with force or fear, but with mercy and love. On the cross, Jesus showed mercy in its fullest form, and through him we gain eternal life, not because we're good enough, but because he was merciful enough. On the cross, Jesus, our Good Samaritan, facing the worst evil this world could muster, not only showed us how to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself, but also answers the question about eternal life, once and for all. Now, yes, love and mercy are costly. You only need to look at the cross to figure that out. Yet Jesus' parable calls us to not merely admire mercy, but to receive it and then to reflect it. So, how would you say Jesus' parable speaks to issues like gun violence and immigration? Does it shape your faith and then in turn faith your politics? Here is a way that your church has already answered that question. Because in faith, this church opens its doors to all people, no matter which side in the story they take, serving as a sanctuary, a place of peace and hope, where the Prince of Peace is worshiped and his mercy is proclaimed to the world. Jesus asks you, what will your part be in his story? He told that story, and then he asked the lawyer, who is a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And he answered, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise.
Thank you for tuning into the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.